welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, I want to welcome you back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. I hope you're having a great day, and we are continuing our series, Because I'm Saved, with episode 124. Because I'm Saved, I speak. As we've already said in this series, we're talking about how it's much better for saved people to live with purpose because they're saved rather than with fear about whether or not they're going to be saved. And so many Christians live with that fear, that weight on their shoulders, on their hearts, in their lives about whether or not on the day of judgment they're going to receive good news. And the hope of the gospel is that if we are walking in the light, if we are pursuing Jesus through the way that we can live with confidence and assurance that we are saved. But how do saved people live? So far, we've said that saved people serve, they study, and today we're going to talk about how saved people speak. But the question is, speak what exactly? What do we say? And there are many different passages in the New Testament that talk about things that God's people should be discussing, but today we're going to look at just a few verses. And the first one is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And in this passage, I'm going to recommend and kind of define that saved people speak to defend. Peter says, "In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." This verse really isn't initiated by us. It's a response to an inquiry or an accusation about our life. Peter says that we should be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. So someone else is really initiating the conversation. And the context seems to be among unbelievers. Now, it doesn't have to be unbelievers because Peter says that we should give an answer to everyone, but based on his context, the chapter that he's writing in, it seems like Peter's saying this is how you should respond when someone who is not a follower of Jesus asks you why you are a follower of Jesus. He says, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. Now, if we think back about Peter's life, and if we think about the things that Peter experienced in the New Testament, there was a night when Peter was not prepared to give an answer. And you know what that night was. The night that Jesus was arrested, the night that Jesus was flogged. Peter denied Jesus three times, and he heard the rooster crow, and he was ashamed in the fact that he was not prepared to give an answer. Do you think that when Peter wrote these words about being prepared to give an answer, that he was thinking about that night? I'm sure that he was. He says, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. What is the hope that we have as Christians? I'm convinced many people live years of their lives as quote-unquote Christians, but if you ask them to talk about the hope that they have, they'd look at you like a deer in the headlights. Maybe they couldn't define what that hope is. Well, at the beginning of the book of 1 Peter, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And Peter says that hope is an inheritance that never perishes, spoils, or fades. It's kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power. What's our hope? Our hope is that we are saved. We are inherited. We are shielded. There's always hope, anticipation, expectation of the wonderful things that God has prepared for us. And that's our answer too. That when bad things in life happen, we know that we are going to a place that will never perish, spoil, or fade, where everything will be just as it should be. And Peter says that we give this answer with gentleness and respect. We view other people as people, not as objects. We don't come across in a condescending way. We aren't jerks, but we speak of our hope with a humble spirit and with an eager expectation. But we don't just speak to defend. Another passage we find tells us that we should speak to encourage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." This time, the conversation is initiated by us, and this time the context seems to be among believers rather than unbelievers. Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." What is unwholesome talk? The ESV uses the words corrupt talk. The word literally means rotten, putrid, of bad quality. It's the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 7, 17, and 18 when he talked about trees producing good fruit or bad fruit. Jesus said a good tree will not produce bad fruit and a bad tree will not produce good fruit. If we are trying to produce good fruit in our lives, fruit that is not corrupt, fruit that is not rotten, what kinds of things will we say? Are we going to criticize the church? Are we going to constantly talk about our doubts? Are we going to ridicule our leaders, our brethren in Christ? Well, what wholesome results going to come in kingdom work if those are the types of things coming out of our mouths? You know, Paul says that we are to build others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It begs the question, how can we build others up according to their needs if we don't know what their needs are? We must be so deeply connected within the body of Christ that we know when others are hurting because we are hurting with them. We know why they're hurting. We know when they're hurting. We know how they're hurting. In the same way that we are to speak to defend, we are also to speak to encourage. But there's one more that I'd like to mention. Sometimes we're told that we need to speak to instruct. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. "Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." I think, like the Ephesians passage of speaking to encourage, this is also initiated by us, but more like speaking to defend. In the 1 Peter passage, this context seems to be among unbelievers. Paul says, "Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders." And one of the ways that we are wise is by the way that we speak. He says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace." How do we do that? How do we make our conversation always full of grace? It's hard enough to have it be full of grace sometimes, but Paul says, make your conversation be full of grace always. Well, obviously, we will fall short in that ambition. But we need to learn to be people in our speech who are patient, who are merciful, who are instructive. And that leads into making our conversation seasoned with salt. What does that look like? What does that sound like? Well, much like the world today in the first century, salt was a preservative. Salt made meals taste better. Salt made food more flavorful. So if our conversation is going to be seasoned with salt, we don't just tell people when there's a problem. We also provide them the solution. We speak not to criticize. Rather, we speak to instruct. So three ways that saved people are supposed to speak. They're supposed to speak to defend, speak to encourage, speak to instruct. Let me ask you today, which of those three do you find the most challenging? Which of those three do you think are the most important? And the one that you find the most challenging, spend the most time speaking there. And the one that you find the most important, well, devote all of your heart and energy to those words and those thoughts. But saved people are not supposed to remain silent. Saved people are supposed to speak. As always, thank you for spending some of your time today with us here at Road Talk. Keep your eyes on heaven, and I can't wait to talk with you next time. God bless.